That's the way to be distracted, me sure. Huh? Okay, C4. E6. Knight C3, A6. Alright. I think he's not running, is it?
I don't know.
Yeah, you don't want it running? No, I'm saying, I don't know if it is or isn't. Is it?
It's running.
Okay, so then after D4, now we backdoor into a con Sicilian.
Ruxo.
Yeah, so all the drama's over. After takes, knight takes, we're in a con. And it looks like a long theoretical struggle ahead, but after knight F6, I decided to test the waters of queen E2. It's an unnatural looking move.
But the threat of F1.
The threat of E5. The threat of E5 is real. The F1 bishop will have to develop on the flank.
Okay. So you play
after D6, right? I curtail the activity of the F8 bishop, and I'm halfway home. So G3. And Berses plays B6, immediately fighting for the diagonal. Not a bad idea.
He's got a hedgehog set up.
I thought it was too routine to play bishop G2 here, so I went with bishop G5 to make him determine his knight's positioning. And play knight of d7. And now the novelty. Bishop h3. Unusual development. Stopping bishop e7 is just
sex.
If bishop e7, bishop e6 wins, three pawns for the piece. In a raging game, so. Yeah. Eschews the bishop e7 move and plays bishop b7 instead.
I don't know if you can get one.
And I can't really sacrifice that effectively here. Although it's unclear, it's probably not the best continuation. You know, sack, knight takes, and then the queen moves, put another knight in on d5. It's very artistic, but in a game of such importance, I decided not to delve into these complications. So, castle short. Even though I knew now, he would have a chance to go for his own initiative. And since bishop e7 is ruled out, his spirited try is almost forced. And he starts with immediate pressure on c4. I haven't had time for rook c1. I could have taken time out, but I decided not to. So I've been wanting these complications as badly as he. And if I play now b3, which I did, but I didn't play it right away, but b5's in the air. So first I decided, before we get into that, let's play bishop takes f6 to limit his central possibilities. And after gf6, queen h5. And he has a separate problem of his own. e6, namely. I thought he might play knight g6, which takes the heat off the position, but instead he played king e7. And, you know what? I'm sorry, I confused the move order because I didn't part with my bishop just yet. First I played b3. Instead of bishop takes f6, I got the move order mixed up, so okay. B3 came first. Those two, no, the four bishop f6. B3, and now b5. And he's got real pressure on c4 now, virtually winning a pawn. But I get rid of one more of his developed pieces, he takes f6. And queen h5 is a nice counter threat. Very difficult to defend e6 with the pin in the air. He doesn't want to back the knight off out of the center, although it's a playable move maybe. But castling long is ruled out because I just take on b5 and he can't take on the c file, so his whole position. So with e6 hanging, he played king to e7 and rook at a to c8.
Now there
are many moves here. I mean, including b4. If he plays b4, he's going to win the e pawn. And I hadn't decided quite where to put my knight yet. But
I'm not familiar with this system.
I might go to a4. And on bishop takes e4, I might try something with c5 ideas. But then again, at b4, I hadn't had time to check it all. But at b4, I might go back to e2 looking at it now and maybe play for f4 or put a knight on f4 with sacrificial possibilities in the air. So he's got to be quite careful here. He decided not to try to win the e-pawn because of the unstable king on the e-file. He decided it was more logical to just play b takes c4 and go after his pawn there. Oh, Jadoub. I expected that. I expected b takes c4. He didn't play it. I expected b takes c4 when I have a choice of either taking back on c4 or playing rook at f to d. And now his knight can't come to d3 because I sacrifice for a moment and play knight d5 check and he drops the queen. So I can centralize very forcefully with my two rooks. And his king being out of play could give him real trouble. So he decided not to test those waters either. But what he played might not be better either. He played knight to d3 right away. And in his own words, he thought he was confusing my rooks now. He thought he had some good confusion possibilities on c4. But he overlooked the simple exchange sacrifice after c takes b5. Now he's forced to take the exchange. His queen is hanging. Takes. Rook takes, and I have a pawn for the exchange and an attack on the c-file. So queen b6 sidestep with tempo, but then came knight a4, counter tempo. He takes the knight, I break in on the 7th rank with check.
Take it here.
Well, I looked at one long variation. After here, check, king d8. Rook takes b7 wins, because f7 can't be held.
Right.
But the long variation goes, queen takes f7 immediately, bishop c8, b6, key move. Now, the rook's protected, so I can take an f6 if his queen wanders. I'm threatening b7 with a mate on a d7 square, and he's almost out of moves. And last but not least, I have bishop takes e6 hanging in the air. So if he tries queen a8 check, a1 check, I first thought I had to play bishop f1, but I don't need to. Just king g2. And now with the threat of bishop e6 in the air, or b7 in the air, the position can hardly be held. So I was going to triple check everything, but it looks like a winning attack all the way around. But I played the first step, knight a4, and I knew that I could win by either taking on b7 immediately or capturing on f7 in the more complicated line. Either or. So this knight a4 move was tremendously strong. And he had to play queen to d8 to stay in touch with his pieces. And here I decided to just keep pressing right away, and I clarified on the queen side. B takes A. And the bishop can't take on a6 because knight c6 is conclusive. So rook takes a6. And I went for this double attack. It's kind of unusual.
No, wait a minute. That's a one. Queen d8.
B takes A. Rook a6. And I went for this queen b5 move, attacking most of his pieces. I expected rook c7, rook a7, I expected, when I prepared the queen c4 move. The nice part about queen c4 is I'm threatening to break in on e6 with a mating attack. And I'm also threatening knight to b5, chasing the rook off, and queen c7 check collects material on the 7th rank. So, some interesting queen moves now are played. The game gets very fascinating. Queen b5. Queen d7. This move is hard to find, even for a professional. Bishop f1. And now down the exchange, he realizes that he can't trade queens because bishop takes b5 is punishing. Rook c7 in the air. And after rook a7, rook c7 check, king to d8, rook takes f7, and none of his pieces can move. e6 can't be defended. My knights are invading on b6 and e6. He could even get mated here, and some nice minor piece mates can crop up. So, yeah, those pieces are out of play. It's a key factor. So, luckily, I guess, or not luckily, but the fact remains, he can't trade queens. But now he plays a nice sharp move, which seems to save him. And he plays rook takes a4. His idea is to devalue my pawns one way or another and collect on e4. It's a nice sharp try. So you can imagine his surprise, and I noticed mild surprise. I mean, he tried to hide his emotions, but I knew he didn't see this creeping move. Queen b6. They say creeping moves are hardest to see. And now c7 can't be defended easily. There's no time for him to sacrifice the rook because the queen hangs. Everything's hanging with check. And he gets even mated in some lines. So to defend c7, he had no choice, and he played rook b4, computer-looking move. And he called my queen off, and I took on b4. And now, bishop h6. And suddenly, it looks like he's breathing. A vital tempo. If he can play rook c8, he'll be in the game with two bishops. I have two passed pawns, but the two bishops will always be a factor. Unfortunately for him, though, after bishop h6, I found the sharp bishop b5 move, and his queens run low on squares. So he only had one move, queen d8. And now, instead of passive moves, I play, and my e4 square is hit, I play this rook c6 move with absolute paralysis. Now what? His queen can't move away from the d6 square. He can't touch the rook. And he can't sit still forever either. His rook's out of play. So he played the very brave queen to d7 into the discovery. And now I just moved the rook back to c4. And now I've gained a tempo for the saving of the rook. And he rotated back to d8. But after queen c3, penetrating on the c-file, he realized the game was over. I'm coming to the 7th rank. If he plays king f8, so he resigned after queen c3. If he plays king f8, rook c7, and it's the end of the world as you know it. If bishop takes e4, rook c8, simple enough. And so his queen would have to move to somewhere like a8 to try to hold, but then knight takes e6 check, and the queen breaks in on f6.
Nice.
So it was truly resignable.
I gotta go back with your old mentor.
And with that, I got my third win in a row, trying to put this tournament back together. The Nakamura and Judazin losses were in game 45, and were really just poor time management. Both of those guys are very experienced, but I didn't feel any particular disadvantage against either one of them, and the games were nice. I would play both games again. I mean, the game against Judazin in particular, I would take the white position I got, but that's another story for another time.
So you're playing D4 these days. You play D4 against Nakamura, right?
Well, you know how it is.
What's knight F3, D4?
You know how it is. There'll be many secrets.
Thanks, Emery.